And so what he did is he bridged that chasm through his cross, through his blood. Because the wages of sin is death. But all the way through the scriptures, we learn something. That when blood is applied to sin, it cleanses it. It atones it. So because Jesus died, we don't have to. And so he built a bridge. He crossed, he made a cross, a crossing for us. So that now we can come across and we can come to God. He drove a stake into the wages of sin. He built a bridge so that you and I can come across. And now we can come into the heavenlies, into the relationship with the Father. And if just one comes, what happens in heaven? And how important is everyone? How precious are you to Him? Is there a search out after every person? Is there a specific search? Listen, it's not Christians bugging you. It's God. He's after you. And you'll never be able to. You go to hell, you can't get away from Him. You make your bed in hell, He'll come there to get you. He loves you that much. You go to the depths of the sea. Guess what? Here He comes. There's no place you can go to get away from Him. It's not Christians bugging you. It's God. He's got His light out. And you can't hide from Him. And every one of us has experienced that. Every one of us has felt the conviction in our spirits and our souls when we knew that we needed God. We just didn't know how to get there, number one. We wasn't sure we wanted to. But once we did, how many are glad you did? Huh? How many would not go back? Huh? So it's this expression that we really want. Okay. So she lit a light. She lit a candle. Father sent a light. His Son. And one day that light shined on me. One day He found me. One day He found me down in the cracks, down in the dirt, down in the dust. He found me. Now, the whole context of this passage is that as this woman turned her house upside down, she was pulling the sheets off the bed. She was looking every place. I was sharing this with Judy last night. She shared with me a story. Her mother passed away, and Judy acquired her rings, her wedding rings. Well, one day, Judy was cleaning the house, and a wedding ring came off. Oh, she was wearing it, I suppose. It had to come off, so it had to be wearing it. She was wearing her mother's wedding bands, and one of them came off. And she began to search the house, and she looked everywhere. She searched for weeks. She was looking everywhere. She called people, pray, I find this ring. I want to find my mama's ring. It's not that it's all that valuable, except it's valuable to me. It's precious to me, and I want my ring. She told the Lord, she says, Lord, the devil's taken enough of my inheritance. I want my ring back. One day, guess what she found? She found that ring. But in the meantime, everybody knew Judy was hunting that ring. She was looking everywhere. She was under the bed. The story reminds me a little bit in just a second, and then I'll go to it. What was the second thing? First of all, she lit a light, and she went searching. What was the second thing she did? She swept. Now, when the Lord found me, there was a lot of dirt. I needed a lot of sweeping, and I still need some sweeping. It reminds me of my chair where I sit in my living room. Every once in a while, Judy will make me either move that chair or lean this chair back so she can clean up under this thing. And anything you can imagine being under a chair is under that chair. You'll find peanuts. You'll find peanut holes. You'll find potato chips. You'll find candy or candy wrappers. You'll find green stuff. I don't know what that is. It's just there. Now, you know, you shouldn't have a chair with stuff growing under it, but under my chair. But you know what else you'll find? You'll find some coins. There'll be some coins under that chair. And she gets them because she's fine. We used to have our nieces that lived with us for a year or so. And they would want me to sit in my chair. And then when I got out of my chair, they turned the chair upside down. Yeah, when you began to go into the lives of people, when the Lord came into my life, there was a lot of junk there. But there was something very precious there. There was something that He wanted for His kingdom. Because He found me, all of you have been ministered to. Because He found me, my family came in. Because He got me, because His light hit me, because He began to sweep me, I'm now able to minister to you. Because I'm precious to Him. I'm valuable. And one day that light hits you. And one day you realize you're really precious to the Lord and how valuable you are to Him. And all of a sudden, the hole begins to be filled. And all of a sudden, that black thing is no longer there. And all of a sudden, there's a fulfillment in your life. And all of a sudden, where there was sadness and emptiness, there's joy and fulfillment. All of a sudden, where there were no relationships worth a nickel, all they wanted to do is use you or abuse you. All of a sudden, you have these loving, gentle, wonderful people all around you. All of a sudden, you've crossed something. And you finally realize what it was. It was that deep thing that kept you away from God. Now, let me tell you something. As you began to minister to people, as you began to shine the light of Jesus Christ, because the light didn't end with Jesus, He says in Matthew chapter 5, He says, "Now you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill." As you began to minister into the lives of people, and you began to search around in their lives, you're going to see some mighty nasty things. And part of you will want to say, "Oh my, what is that growing there?" But you see, it's not your responsibility to deal with that. Right. All you're supposed to do is find it. You're just supposed to be the light that not only finds it, but also helps it come back across and show it the way to come back to God. Right? He deals with that. He sweeps. Isn't that good? I'm glad for that one, I'm telling you. Because you see, I can't help myself. I can't help you. Can a leper change his spots? Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Not at all. But who can? He can. Because when He comes into a soul, something's going to change. He's going to sweep it. He's going to cleanse it. So the first thing she did was what? Turn the light on. Second thing she did was what? Sweep. And search. And then what happened? How long did she do this, by the way? Till she found it. Till she found it diligently, the Bible says. She did this diligently. She did this with, this became her primary concern. This became the most important thing of her day, was searching for this coin. She did this diligently. She did it until she found it. And then when she found it, what happened? What did she do? What did this woman do? She called everybody, her neighbors, her relatives, her friends, anybody that she said, "Hey, I have found it. I've got it. Come with me and let's have a party and rejoice." And the context of the Greek there is that she pitched a party. She pitched a party because she had found that which was lost. And then Jesus comes to that conclusion. He says, "You know what? It's that way in heaven. Among the angels, when just one..." How many are you? One. When just one, when one crosses over, when one comes to repentance, there's joy in heaven over how many?
One.
All of heaven takes notice that you have come across. All of us heaven, there's a banner. They call it, your name is written in the Lamb's book, but all of a sudden, there's your name. And all of a sudden, all of heaven begins to rejoice. There's joy among the angels, in the presence of the angels. There you are. And all of heaven can rejoice. Now let me tell you something. In closing, you're precious. You're so precious. He put out a search on you. You thought it was just people bugging you. It was God. But beyond that, you'll never meet a person that's not precious and valuable to God. Never. You'll never meet a person. You'll never meet a sinner. There is not anyone. There is not a homosexual. There is not a whoremonger. There is not a harlot. There is not a thief. There is not an adulterer. There is nobody that's not precious to God. And whether they realize it or not, they're still precious to Him. You'll never meet a person that's not precious to God. Never. Secondly, you'll never meet a person that's not warranting a search. Never. You're never going to meet a person that God doesn't have a search warrant out after. I want him. I want her. Never. Everybody is worthy of a search. Amen. Thirdly, you'll never meet a person that all of heaven won't stop and begin rejoicing when they cross over. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. There's nobody not worth getting saved. There's nobody not worth spending some time with. A principle that I want to share with you. A candle. She lit a candle, and I began to think about this. The Lord lit a candle. His name was Jesus. There was a light in the house. And a casual passing of that light wouldn't light it. But she held it there. And the light was lit. What I want to show you, what I'm trying to say to you today, is a casual passing of somebody's life will not light the candle. You speak to somebody, and that's not going to light the candle. You just glance against somebody's life, that's not going to light the candle. What you got to do is figure a way and find a way to stop long enough and hold your light there so that they too can become lit. You know what they'll do then? See, every time one person comes into the kingdom of God, there's a domino effect. When the light hit me, it got her. When the light got me and her, it got him and her. When the light got me and him, got the him. And now I got a grandbaby and another one. Why? Because somebody stopped long enough to light my life. Yeah. And so therefore, there was another candle lit. And you know what that light did? It found somebody and held still long enough to light another candle. And now all of a sudden, you got a family, you got people, you got families. But it doesn't happen with a casual passing. We have to make the bridge. We have to come to a place where we understand the heart of the evangelist is that people are precious to God.